This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. Robert Lipsight has spent the past six decades as a print, radio, TV, and online journalist. He also writes young adult fiction. But the lion's share of his career was as a columnist for the New York Times. Lipsight first worked for the newspaper known as The Gray Lady when he landed a summer job as a copy boy in the sports department. Robert Lipsight has just written a memoir called An Accidental Sports Writer. It will be published on Tuesday, and he's in our studio in New York. It is so nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be back.
Can it really be called accidental? I mean, you applied for the job. You saw an ad in the newspaper. And, what did you think you were getting into?
It was totally accidental. I had just graduated from college. I was on my way to get an advanced degree in probably something important like romantic English poetry in California, which was as far as I could imagine myself from Queens. But I needed a little more money. And so I bought the New York Times, never read the paper. I heard it had good classified ads. And it was an ad for something called editorial assistant. So I go up there, and they kind of are very condescending. You know, there are all sorts of Rhodes Scholars waiting for this job. But while you're here, fill out an application, which I did, and went back home to Queens. And as I walked in the door, my mother said, "Bobby, you got a crank call." Some man called and said, "If you show up tomorrow night and pass the physical, you can start work at the New York Times immediately." And, you know, the physical was showing up. So that was the first great accident. I figured I'd be there for 2 months before I sought my fame and fortune in California. And I hated the job, didn't like the people in the sports department. I had never been a sports fan, but I loved the paper. I fell in love with the paper viscerally. Because at 9 o'clock at night, when the great presses started to roar in the basement, the whole building started to shake. And up on the third floor where the sports department was, it would come up my legs and into my loins. I guess you had to have been an English major to be that crazy. But so that was the first major accident. And then the next really big accident was Cassius Clay,
yeah,
now known to you as Muhammad Ali.
Well, let me ask you about that. I mean, that was your first big assignment, was the heavyweight boxing championship between Sonny Liston and Muhammad Ali, then known as Cassius Clay. Why was he called Gaseous Cassius at that time?
Well, I think that the more traditional sports writers were put off by the fact that he never stopped talking. He was the Louisville Lip. He was Gaseous Cassius. You know, the truth is that in any kind of logical succession, he really didn't deserve to fight for the championship at that time. He had not really, you know, beaten the correct contenders on the way up, the 1, 2, 3, and 4 contenders. But Sonny Liston was considered such a monster. Nobody would come pay to see his fights because he knocked everybody out in the first round, that the only way they felt that they could goose the box office was with this beautiful sacrificial creature who was really best known. He had, the year before, he had been on the cover of Time magazine because he spouted his doggerel, his poetry, in coffee houses in Greenwich Village. So, I mean, he was kind of a wonderful sports character. But he got absolutely no credit, you know, for being a great athlete and a boxer. And as odd as this may sound, he was even criticized for his lack of traditional approach to ring tactics. At the time, the correct way, if somebody's throwing a punch to you, you slip the punch, which means you move your head from left to right so that it goes harmlessly over your shoulder. He leaned back away from the punch, which everybody said, you know, would lead him into ultimate destruction against the ropes, which it never did. Mm. So he talked too much. He treated the old-time sports writers with, you know, a certain kind of disrespect. He was funny. He was just wonderful to be around. And I remember that week leading up to the fight, you know, deep in the back of my head thinking, oh, if only he could win, everything in the world would change, including my career. And that's what happened.
Yeah. Gay Talese was a sports columnist at the New York Times when you were the copy boy, right?
Right. He was a reporter.
A reporter. You write a lot about him. How did he contribute to you as a writer?
I mean, he was the reason that I stayed as I said, I hated being a copy boy at the Times. I kept going to school at the same time. I was always tired. I wasn't really sure I was cut out for this. But going to his desk, he was on night rewrite, and going to his desk and being in the school of Talese and listening to what he had to say, you know, how you interview people, the questions you ask, how you prepare. I kind of loved to go out on cocoa runs for him because I knew I could bring, you know, the hot cocoa back to his desk and stand there as he drank. He was very generous and kind with his time. And then ultimately, when I decided I just couldn't take it anymore, I was going to school from 9 to 5. The job was like 7 to 3. I was tired. I was not advancing. I was unhappy. He was the first person I told that I was going to quit. And, you know, he sipped at his cocoa and looked at me. And in his the thoughtful way he kind of forms his sentences, he said, well, I can understand you're doing that, although I think it's a great mistake. I think you're just the kind of young man the Times is looking for these days, and I think you'll be very successful here. But let me tell you, if you do decide to leave, I will give you $5,000 against 10% of your earnings as a freelance writer, because I think you'll do really very well. Leanne, that's all I ever had to hear. Mm. The fact that Gay Talese, you know, it believed in me, I was then able to believe in myself. I hung on for a couple of more months and was promoted, and by 21, I was a reporter. I still see Gay, and in writing An Accidental Sports Writer, I went back to interview him some months ago, and over a course of a couple of days, we talked and talked, and finally, I kind of screwed up my courage to ask the big question. I reminded him about the $5,000, and I said, were you serious? Is there any possibility you could have been kidding? And he said, sure.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So another happy accident in my career.
Robert Lipside's new memoir will be published this Tuesday. It's called An Accidental Sports Writer. Robert, thanks so much. It's great to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. It's great to talk to you.